Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. I'm your host, author John L. Brown, and I have my co-host, Ms. Jacqueline Allen, better known as Ms. J.
Hi.
And today we have a really good guest. He's one of our special guests today, Mr. Joey White. But before we, before I go any further, I would like to ask Ms. J if she would take the pleasure on bringing Mr. White on the talk show.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And welcome, Mr. Joey White. I'm very excited to have you on the show. And I got a lot of things to talk about with you, but before I get started with my questions as well, why don't you give the audience a little taste about you, let them know what you're about, and we'll go from there.
Well, Ms. J, and thank you, brother, for inviting me on your very busy show. I'm not that important, but let's see, what can I tell y'all about me? Let's see, joined the Navy when I was 18, did a few years in there, got out, didn't have too much to do with myself, so I started selling cars and doing home loans. Got tired of doing that, so I decided to go work for the government and, you know, got my degree in management in December. Got my degree in December in management, and I'm about to start law school next month. In between all that, I started OurTimeNow.com for us because got tired of getting blocked, banned, suspended, posts getting deleted. You know, you name it, under the rainbow as far as being black on Facebook, so I decided to do something else, which was create my own site to help us not only do social media, but also do black economics in one under one umbrella.
Yes, and I actually have been on the website, and it's actually an awesome website. What I like about it, too, is if you own a business, you have the opportunity to, yes, a black-owned business is a great opportunity for you to get black people to purchase from you and to make customers and contacts, and I think that's pretty awesome, too. What I like about it as well is that it is a platform where you can speak truth without having to worry about, like you say, be blocked or deleted, because I've had some posts deleted. I didn't think they were bad. And I said, where'd my posts go? So, you know, it's a free form, and it's open to really express. And I think it's a great place to learn and teach about our history, about what's going on in our communities, and things like that. And that was one of the reasons why I was really excited to have you on the show, because we need a platform that is really just for us, that we can be us and do us without any hindrance.
That's right. You've actually said everything, basically. I don't even know what else to say. I might as well just get off the call and let you talk.
No.
Here's
we're not finished. We're not finished with you.
Here's one more thing. I'm not really focusing on the social media aspect of the internet, because there's a brother named Tariq Waheed. He created Africa, AFRAKA.com first. I didn't know about it, but, you know, he created his site way before me. He focuses on black social media and other things too, but he does the social media. I'm trying to refocus our time now into more of the economics and movement side of the world, because I want our time now to be a movement website and not a social media website, or not just a social media site. It's just that the social media part gives us the avenue to speak to each other. But I'm trying to get black businesses to join, because we are going to be next week, we're going to be having a black business meeting basically on the site to introduce some new programs that black business owners on the site can take advantage of. It's going to be basically free for them, and we're going to, you know, explain the whole thing to them, and this is going to be, I believe, a game changer as far as the black businesses are concerned that are members on the site. So we're trying to get everybody that has a black business, even if you're selling toenail clippers, toenail
right?
clippers all the way up to TVs. If you want to sell something on the site, you know, you need to be on the site and join the Black Business Owners group on the site, because we're going to be, like I said, next weekend we're going to have a phone call. So I said all that because, like I said, my main goal is the economic side, getting black people empowered so we can, you know, not only create businesses but hire our own people, because it doesn't make sense for us to be begging people for jobs. And if we are begging them for jobs, then we are basically at their mercy, and we need to stop being at their mercy. And that's the main problem that we have here in America, is that we're at everyone else's mercy when it comes to jobs, and we need to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to piggyback on what you're saying, Mr. White, is that this talk show here is about uplifting communities. And one thing that we strive in to do is to put businesses back in the community. And with your platform, that is one great, I would think that's very important, because, you know, we need more businesses in the black communities, you know, to start hiring our young, you know. And so, I mean, even like you said, even if they're selling toenails, well, not toenails, but toenail clippers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, with that site.
Hey, if there's
you know,
a market to sell toenails,
yeah,
then I guess somebody will buy one.
Well, you know, you look at, hey, look here. Well, they do sell toenails. What you laughing at, Ms. J?
No, not natural toenails. They sell
no.
artificial ones. But I mean, if somebody want to buy some real toenails, then by all means, they can sell them too.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great thing, man, and I'm excited about it myself. You know, so that's something new, that's something that no one else thought about. You know, is I haven't seen nothing like that. You know, on the internet, to where as though we got our own site, to where we can go, and you know, and discuss, you know, the problems in the African-American communities and try to uplift the communities, because that's what it's all about. We need that. And, you know, I mean, we really do need that.
You know, like I said, with Brother Waheed, he created his site before I did. I didn't know nothing about it. You know, I don't have, I'm not technical. So I just went and found the site, bought and paid for it, and just added the content. So there were a few people that are out there before me. Now, obviously, we all share the same goal, which is we don't want the notoriety and the celebrity associated with, oh, I'm the first, I'm the first, I'm the first, or I'm the biggest. We basically trying to do it under the radar. Now, there are people who want the celebrity of being, you know, the black person with the biggest and baddest and all of this and that, and everybody knows who they are. But it took me 4 years, because Our Time Now has been around for 4 years, but it took me 4 years to put a picture out because I did not want the celebrity. You know, people kept asking me, oh, he must be white. He's not really black. He's just a white guy trying to act like he's black to get people to join his site and all this. And I'm like, no, that's not the point. The point is that I want to, I wanted to basically, do this for our people, because I want Our Time Now to stand on its own. I don't want it to be associated with me per se. I didn't want it to be like, oh, well, this is his stuff. It's for us. It's not for me. I just started it, you know, but the people, the members that join the site add the content. They add their pictures. They add their information. They add everything. So it's their site. I just basically started it. So I didn't want the celebrity to be on me. I wanted it to be for us, because it's a we thing. It's not a me thing. I'm not doing this, you know, so I can drive around in a Maybach or a Rolls Royce. I mean, I live in the hood. I go to work just like everybody else, but I'm trying to do something to help everybody, because at the end of the day, like Muhammad Ali said, in regards to giving up his boxing license, he said, after the white man is done with me and I can't fight no more, then, you know, only thing I will have is my people. So if I do them wrong, then I ain't got nobody. And you look at O.J. Simpson, what happened to him? He turned his back on black people, thought he was going to be too good for us. And then as soon as he got in trouble with white folks, where was he at? He was on the 105 freeway rolling through Watts trying to get black people support.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to be like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, you know,
so
like,
I just want to make that clear.
I definitely understand where you're coming from, and that's really, really good. You know, that says a lot about your character when you speak of what you just spoke of. You know, and I don't think, you know, when you're talking about doing something for people or doing something for God, I mean, for God's people, or for the communities or whatever, you know, I don't think that's your thought anyway. I think that's God's thought. God put that in you. I believe in God, and I believe that God put that in you, you know. And it's not about what other people think, that you know, looking at somebody else's stuff. That's your stuff because God put it into it. And I think that a person, you know, should get recognized for the great work that they're doing. And the reason I say that is because we done had great people come on this talk show, and we recognize them. And the reason for that is because when you start doing something in your community and something positive, you know, and you're not getting recognized, who normally get recognized? You know, your district managers, or either the mayor, the community start blossoming or whatever. They the one that normally take the credit for all the hard work that you did. And me, myself, a lot of people say, well, it don't really make a difference who did it. But, I mean, that's just me. You know, why should your mayor, you know, take the credit for something that you did or something that your platform? And that's where I got the problem at. You know, I think that you should get the question. You know,
well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and you know, everyone wants to be recognized for their work. But I'm not above recognition, but it's not about me at this moment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just built the foundation. Everybody else helps to, you know, build the house. So I'm not really about recognition right at the moment, you know. So only recognition I want, I look at it like this. When Malcolm and Martin and Medgar Evers were shot down, somebody had to pick up the baton to actually, you know, want to stand in their shoe print. Now, we have a lot of people out here who like to point at the shoe print for attention, but nobody's actually standing in the shoe print. Even Jesse Jackson, who was next to Martin when he got killed, he don't even want to stand in the shoe prints. He want to stand right next to him, around him, by the side. Al Sharpton want to sell tickets to look at the shoe print. You know, Minister Farrakhan, he stands. He has been standing. You know, he made his own shoe print, so I can't say that he hasn't. He's made his own shoe print because they've had people who have threatened his life on a daily. But out of all the new age Negroes, that as I call them, they want to do the same thing as Jesse and Al. They want to sell tickets to the shoe prints. They want everybody to see them. They want to put a light on them. But when they say, hey, why don't you go stand? Oh, no, no, see. Well, see, the way this is going to work is they got a bunch of hemming and hawing and excuses, but they don't want to do it. So I say all that to say, I ran to jump in the shoe prints. Now, they might be too big for me, but I'm standing over here like, hey, somebody look at me or look over here what I'm doing, because I ain't got no problem. Nobody wants to die. I don't want to die. But if I have to die for my people, then that's just the way it is, because at least I'll be an example for my kids to say that at least my father did something. He said what he was going to do. You know, I said I wanted to go to the military. Mm-hmm. I went to the military. I said I wanted to get a degree, so I got a degree. I said I wanted to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. so I'm going to law school to be a lawyer. I tried to run for public office, but I ain't had no money. But at least I got the experience of running, so at least I can see how the process works. So when people talk to me
right.
and say, well, what have you done? I'm not saying this stuff to brag. I'm just showing you what I did so you can actually go and try to do it, you know, because
that's
it's not hard. It don't take a rocket
go.
Scientist to do any of this stuff. You know, me starting a business, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I just say, okay, how do you do this? Okay, let me try to put the pieces together. So I did majority of the stuff. So it's not hard. So when black people say it's hard to start a business, no, it's not. You can use that same tax return that you about to go use to go buy some Jordans, go stand in line for 3 hours to buy some Jordans. You can go start you a business. Use the same $2,000 that you're going to spend to go put some rims on that raggedy ride you riding around trying to impress somebody else. You can go start you a business, you know, making T-shirts or something. You know, we always laughing at Hispanics about they out there selling corn and juice and hot dogs and stuff like that. But they not begging nobody for no job. They not begging nobody
Hello.
For no money. You know,
Hello.
We the ones that want to sit here and complain about what the white man's not giving us. Now, you say, you know, starting black businesses, like I told you, I'm from Watts. I live in Norwalk now, which is only about 12 miles away from Watts one way. But I drive all the way to Watts to go to a black beauty supply store to get my, you know, whatever I need out of that store. Now, between that, I pass up, you know, probably 100 different Sally's and Asian stores and stuff like that. But the reason I do that is because if I don't support my black businesses, nobody else will for sure, you know. And and some people say, so I've been called a racist, even though they don't know what the definition of a racist is. But I've been called a racist. You know, oh, you racist because you don't want to support nobody else. I'm like, well, support goes around in a circle. If you support me, I support you. If you don't want to support
right.
me, then it ain't no sense in me supporting you. Now, why do I say that? Because right next door to this black beauty supply store is an Asian-owned store. They have one Hispanic or two Hispanic girls in there that speak English and Spanish. They don't have no black employees, never have had any black employees, and they don't support not one business around their store. They bring their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They stay in that store. Mama, daddy, grandma, kids, everybody stay in that store all day. You would think they was in prison. But then they come out of the store, they go back to where they live, which is not in Watts, and then they go take that money back to their community and build it up. So they took all your black and brown money, and they put it in their community, and they build their community up, and your community is suffering, but they got a business in your community. So you got to say, who is the executioner and who is the executed? Basically, you are putting your own head in the noose and pulling the lever because you're killing yourself supporting somebody else. If that makes sense.
Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense.
So true. And John talks about
okay.
that a lot. We talk about that a lot. Because you think about it, you know, there's got a lot of businesses in our community that don't even, not only do they not hire us, they, you know, they don't have the best prices. You know, some of these mom and pop stores are overpriced. And we're quick to run into those stores, but we'll, as soon as you say there's a black store over there, somebody's like, well, you know, black people not treat people. Well, that's not a fact. You may have ran across somebody. You may have had a bad experience. Maybe you just had a bad day that day, and it may look like somebody was bad to you. But the point is that we'll go in Asian stores, and they'll follow us around that store, but you'll go back in there. But you can't go support a black person's store because maybe one day you had one bad experience. And that bothers me because I've been in stores, and I'm talking, I've been in a couple of so-called high-end boutiques, and I'm like, dude, are you going to follow me the whole time? And I won't buy anything just because you're following me.
Here's a funny story. I'm going to tell you this real quick. This is, you know, in Compton, on Central Avenue, they have a Louisiana fried chicken. Now, you know black and brown folks love some fried chicken. Now, they obviously, it's a fried chicken and Chinese food store, place, restaurant. So, they sell Chinese food also. Now, when you walk in this store, it's a big old place. And it, just imagine a McDonald's for point of reference as far as how big it is. You walk in the place, the first thing you see when you go to the counter, bulletproof glass. Now, obviously, the place has been robbed. Okay, we get that. But it's bulletproof glass. Second thing you notice is it's all Asian. Not one black person in there. They probably got one or two Hispanics, again, because they speak English. Not saying that the Asians don't speak English in there, but they speak English. So they got majority of their employees is Asian and Hispanic. Not one black person in the place. Now, we going to go to that place that don't have no respect for us and patronize them, but you won't go to the black restaurant because Shaniqua gave you a bad attitude, or she gave you two ketchups instead of three. Not stopping to talk to the owner and say, hey, look here, I have a problem with your employee. Can we sit down and talk about this? You know, not saying that the owner doesn't have any understanding, but the thing is that the owner, you know, doesn't know of what's going on because we don't tell them. We just don't come back. But we'll go in there and argue with the agent and tell them, I'm spending my money in here. You better treat me right. Like we doing them a favor. They'll laugh at us and still take your money or still follow you around the store. So the reason I say this is because what I'm trying to do is teach people or show people, our people, a difference. You know, we have to unlearn what we have learned. We have learned a lot of bad behaviors. So we need to unlearn these bad behaviors, and that's what I'm trying to do with Our Time Now. The first thing that you do when you get on the site is everybody says hello to you. That's the first thing. Somebody going to say hello and welcome to you. And the problem that I'm having with a lot of the members, because it's a new thing, is that they don't speak. So what I've been trying to do is tell everybody, look, say hello to these people when they come in. If they got a problem or anything, you know, let them know, hey, we're here. You know, somebody will answer your question. And you know, we have to unlearn what we have learned because on Facebook, you don't have you have zero friends. Nobody talks to you until you put all your contact information in there so they can find all of your friends that are on Facebook. And then you have to send them a request and wait for them to say something back to you. With us, it's totally different. It's a wholly, totally different experience. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, give black people a totally different experience. You don't have to accept bad behavior just because. You know, you don't have to keep getting banned and suspended because you want to quote something from Malcolm X or Martin Luther King. You know, and that's what Facebook does not like. You don't have the freedom of speech on Facebook, at least black people don't. Because I'll give you a quick little story and then y'all can be able to talk. A couple weeks ago, one of my friends posted a picture of Malia Obama and Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's daughter. Now, the heading was Ape, APE versus Angel. Now, we know which one was the ape and which one was the angel. So I went and found this white guy's page, found the post from the particular day that he posted it, reported it to Facebook. It took them a week to get back to me. When they got back to me, they told me, they gave me a suggestion to block the man, and then they said that his picture did not violate their community standards. Now, I posted a picture on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, and the picture was a white guy from the 70s or so, 70s or 80s. He was at what looked like a theme park. It had the front end of a cage, no cage, just the front door of the cage. And above the picture, above his head, it said, "The world's most dangerous animal." Instagram blocked me for posting that picture because I guess it violated their community standards. The reason is because obviously black people don't have the right to say anything or even make jokes about white people, gays, Jewish people, anybody else, but they can make fun of us all day, every day. So the reason I say you should join Our Time Now or any social media that's any black social media out there if you want to is because we have to teach these people that there are consequences to their actions. If you're going to, you know, disparage us and allow people to disparage us and treat us bad, then we're going to take our business somewhere else. Every time you click on a post on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg make more money. Every single time you click something. So we need to stop being on his website. And I'm not talking about boycott for a week. I'm talking about get off and stay off. Because as soon as they figure out that 300,000 black people or 600,000 or a million black people ain't there, ain't posting about the NBA, NFL, whatever, then they're going to go looking for where they went. And when they come to me talking about, hey, we want to buy your site, I'll be like, yeah, right, you have a nice day, you know, because you're not getting nothing from me because that's all they do. They want to buy us out to silence us. But you ain't silencing us because this is a movement. This is not just a website. This
that's
is a
right.
movement. We are going to be
that's
the
right.
next NAACP and organizations like that because we need somebody to speak to us.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that up in the, Atlanta, they got a black-owned bank in Atlanta, and a lot of blacks is taking their monies out of the other banks and putting it into that black to the black owned bank, and I was reading, and they getting I'm talking about they getting a whole bunch of people from Atlanta is closing down their accounts from the other banks that owned by white, and they taking it to the black owned bank.
Yeah,
and
one United Bank got $1 million deposited over the last week. You know, take your little money and go give it to a black bank, and then that way they have to give you loans and things like that. It don't make no sense for Wells Fargo to be paying billions of dollars for racial discrimination lawsuits because they know what they're doing. That ain't nothing.
Right.
They'll
that's
do it.
Right.
They'll pay that
that's
money
right.
and keep on discriminating.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're 100% right, and that's the way
I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. I was just going to
elaborate.
It's a lot of celebrities that have actually went to that bank in Atlanta. A lot of celebrities have, too, put their money in there. So that's pretty awesome.
Yes,
yeah,
it
even
is.
Though they Johnny come lately, it's better to be coming late than not at all, I guess. Because, I mean, they've made millions of dollars off of black people and in their careers, and they just now deciding to. But, I mean, you know, even Brother Malcolm had to have a wake-up day. So, I mean, I'm glad they're waking up now. I hope that a lot of these black celebrities that are doing this so-called black awakening will start creating jobs and think of our people first instead of hiring everybody. You know, it should be black first and then everybody because we know that they – we'll accept your application. We're not hiring. We're accepting applications. There's just a way to not give you a job. So
that's
we need
right.
to start accepting applications also.
That's right. Well, anyway, we only got a minute and 40 seconds left in the show. And I'm asking Ms. J to close out.
No, this is awesome. It went so fast. Well, first of all, I appreciate you taking the time to come on, Joey. I know I had to talk you on because, like you said, you're not into celebrity. He's not into being a celebrity, so I had to talk him to come on because I wanted more people to know about the website because that's what we're here for, to put the information out there so nobody can say they don't know. So that's what we're here for. So I'm very, very glad you came on. I'm very honored to have you as a guest. And, you know, just if you have one thing to say to the community to encourage them, what would that be about, you know, economics, whatever? Just shoot it out there.
Well, join OurTimeNow.com, and we can have these conversations without having to worry about being banned, blocked, suspended, or whatever. That way we can, you know, we can work on fixing our broken race and getting back to where we're supposed to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Mr. John Brown, you want to say you got something to close out with?
Yes. I want to tell the caller, I apologize that we didn't let you in, but, you know, the talk show is just about over with, and thanks for calling in. And also I want to thank Mr. Joey White for coming on the show. And I really appreciate what you're doing, brother. You know, just keep up the good work. And, you know, and I'm definitely going to support you 100%. With that said,
well,
good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.